Father in heaven, I pray that I will be with us this Lord's Day. I pray the word will come with power, with clarity to all our hearts. We remember those who's unconverted, who will be listening. I pray you will speak especially to them. And I will, Lord, by thy great grace and thy mercy, will bring them to faith in the Lord Jesus. And even your own people will be blessed by hearing the gospel message even today. We ask for thy help. We pray for thy blessing be upon the preaching of the word of God, not just here, but all over the world today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And here we have in this verse 12, a great removal, a great removal. For a number of weeks, we have all been shut in or shut out because of a disruption that has been caused, not just in our land, but right across the world by the coronavirus. We've been closed out of homes. We've been closed out of our jobs, out of different shops. And we've been closed out of the house of the Lord. We would all love this coronavirus to be removed. In fact, God's people all over the world is praying and crying unto the Lord for the removal of the coronavirus. If you go on to internet, for instance, you can go on to YouTube, you'll see instances of people kneeling on the streets in Brazil, crying unto God publicly out on the streets and praying that God would take away this coronavirus. The very president of Brazil called upon a national day of fasting and prayer to free Brazil from this evil coronavirus epidemic. And so we find here people want the coronavirus removed. A great longing is in our hearts, not just in our land, but all over the world, that God would remove this coronavirus. David talks here about a removal, not a coronavirus, not like the plagues that came upon the land of Egypt. And Moses went out, for instance, the plague of flies went out and cried unto God that God would take away all the flies, and God removed them. But David is talking something more serious here. He's speaking about the removal of our transgressions. This great psalm that's referring to the blessing of God upon his people, upon his own heart. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that in me is. Bless his holy name. And David goes down the list of the blessings of God upon his life. And he comes here in verse 12 to a great removal that took place in his life and in the life of everyone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I want to speak about this great removal. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And I want to speak first of all about the defilement in the removal. What is removed here that David is referring to? Well, he talks about transgressions. It is summed up, the defilement here in the removal, in one word, transgressions. And here we think about the pollution of the transgressions. Because over in Ezekiel 14 and the verse 11, the word of the Lord says that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions. Notice here, God is showing us something very, very simple, that transgressions is something that's polluted. It's defilement. It's defilement in the sight of a holy God. And David here is referring to his transgressions being removed. And he's talking here about something that's pollution, that's defilement in the sight of God. In fact, when we think of transgressions, what is it? Well, the very word itself, it means sin or rebellion or trespass. And when I come to the Bible, we are told very, very clearly, what is transgression? What is sin? Well, 1 John 3, verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Here we're told very plainly, what is sin? What is your sin against God? is transgression against the law of God. The Ten Commandments that God has given to us, when we break it in word, in thought, or in deed, when we sin against God and break His law, the Bible said, that is transgression. And so we think of the pollution here of the defilement. It's transgressions against the Lord. It is sin against the Lord. Listen, it is wickedness. In Genesis chapter 6 and the verse 5, it tells us when God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And we find here, what has sin done to man? It makes him wicked. God looked down from heaven. He saw people that were rebelling against him. They were sinning against him. They were transgressing against the God of heaven. And he said he saw wickedness. Transgression is also evil. Remember, Nathan came to David, and he said in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 9, wherefore has I despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? And so when he talks here about David's sin, he says, David, listen, here's what you have done. Yes, you have transgressed. You have sinned, but you have done evil. And so transgression is his pollution. It is evil. It is sin. It is wickedness. It is uncleanness. Think there, Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 16, talking about the Day of Atonement there with the high priest, and it says, he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of their transgressions and all their sins. And notice here, God is saying on the mountain, here's what the high priest has got to do. He's got to make an atonement. He's got to make it in the holy place. Why is it? Because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of their transgressions and all their sins. And here it shows it very, very clearly. Here's what has to be removed. Transgressions, the defilement, the pollution of them, their uncleanness. I want you to think of this load of transgressions that is to be removed. I want you to think about what is in it. You think of the sins of lust. You think of the sins of murder. You think of the sins of anger, adultery, lies, cursing, blasphemy, incest, stealing, sins of every horrible kind. There it is, this multitude of transgressions that are to be moved. It's a mass of pollution. It's a mass of uncleanness before the God of heaven. And it shows it a very simple lesson, that our sin is filthy in the sight of God. This holy, this mighty God is a God of holiness. And our sin has made us unclean. I said to you, unsaved and who's listening to the Word of God today, your sin is pollution in the sight of God. It has made you wicked, evil, unclean in the sight of a holy God. It really stinks before the God of heaven. I mean, David's talking about something here that needs to be removed. He talks about transgressions, the pollution of them. Lord, you would see that your sin is wickedness, that your sin is evil, that your sin has made you unclean in the sight of a holy God. He talks here also about this defilement, not only the pollution of, but it was personal. He said here, our transgressions. David is really holding up his hands before the God of heaven. And he says, hey, listen, it's our transgressions. He's not saying it's theirs. And it was, of course. David puts himself right into the mix here. He says, this pile of transgressions, this pile of defilement, it doesn't belong to God. He's a God of holiness. It doesn't belong to the angels. No, no, this load of transgressions, he says it belongs to us. You know what David is saying here? I have my share in this pile, this load of transgressions. David's sins was sitting here and missed all of it. Oh, dear friends, I want you to see that your sins, among this load of transgressions, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible is very clear in this. It's also plentiful. Notice here he says, our transgressions. I want you to think of the mountain. We live in the mountains of Mourns. We lift our eyes up onto the mountains, the hills around us here. But here's a greater mountain. He couldn't measure the size of the mountain of transgressions here, of those who'll trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It would rise up to the very heavens. It would be large. It would be great in the sight of God. Couldn't number our transgressions. It's a little pile city. No, dear friends. It's a mountain. You think of yourself, oh, unsaved person, listen to the gospel today. Think about your life. Think about your sins in word and thought and deed. Think about the things you should have done and didn't do. Couldn't number your sins. You couldn't number your sins before the God of heaven. Can you see? Can you see today the mountain of defilement in your life, in your heart, that needs to be removed? Look, look, there you see it. It comes up before your mind, your conscience. It's in your heart. You know what you have done. You know what you have said. You know your sins before a holy God of heaven. It's your transgression. It's a mountain of corruption. We all had our part in this transgressions. It's a mountain of corruption. Here is a defilement that needs to be removed. I want to say that to you today. Listen to the word of the living God. You need your sins to be removed. You need them. Maybe they're pressing in upon your heart, your mind, even this very day. They're troubling you. The word of God of that king and Daniel has said his thoughts troubled them. Maybe your sins are troubling you today. You know you're lost without Jesus Christ. You're on your way to hell. You have something in your life that needs to be removed. And there's your transgressions. What do you think of the defilement of them? They're not fun then. They're not pleasure. No, no. It's filthy pollution in the sight of a holy God. And your sins need to be removed, or you'll be lost. Second thing here about this removal, it's a divine removal. Notice what David says, as far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It says, God removes them. God removes them. And very simply, we find here that transgressions cannot be removed by the sinner. You cannot remove your own sins. You may try. You may try. You may try it by your works. The unsaved may try it by their church. They said, I'll go to church. I'll go and listen to the sermons. And I'll read my Bible. I say my prayers. That will help to remove my transgressions. I will give money onto the plate. I will say a few prayers. Friends, you cannot remove your transgressions yourself. The church cannot remove your transgressions. The minister of this church or no priest can take away your transgressions. David says, he. David is showing us a very simple lesson here. It is God. It is God that removes these transgressions. I find here a few simple things about this divine removal. I think about God's might in their removal. You see, God is powerful and he's mighty. And he is the only one who has the power, who has the ability to remove this great mountain of transgressions. Only God can do it. I remember said over in Mark chapter 2 and verse 7, when the Lord Jesus said to that man, he says, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the old Pharisees, the religious hypocrites, when they heard the Lord Jesus say these words, it says in Mark 2, verse 7, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? They didn't know this. They didn't know they were saying the truth. Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus Christ is God. But notice, but God only. And here's a very simple lesson. Only the Lord can take away transgressions. Only the Lord, God of heaven, can remove this mountain of transgressions. No church, no man, not even yourself. Maybe you've been trying to remove your own transgressions. But you cannot do this. Oh, we have a load of defilement in our garage or garden or rubbish. We can get our car in our trailer and take it all to the dump. Put it all in and take it to the dump and cast it into the dumpster. We come home and it's all away. But you cannot do this with your sin. No, friends, you cannot. Here is something only God can shift. I want you to see this. David is very clear. He's very honest here in what he is saying. As far as the east and from the west, so far has he removed. He says, God does this. God does this, you see. And I say to you, unsaved today, only the Lord can take away your sin, the God of heaven. No one has, not even your parents. If you're a young person today listening to the word of God being preached and you're unconverted, your mother, your father cannot take away your sin. There's no one but the Lord, God of heaven, who can take away your sin. So God's might here is found in this removal. And then God's method in the removal. How does God do it? How wonderful. How does God take away our transgressions? How does he do this? Well, the Bible tells us how God does it. And the Bible is very clear about this. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down from heaven, his beloved Son. He sent him down into this world. And listen, he sent him down into the world to remove this mountain of transgressions. He sent Christ into the world to take our sin away. That's the teaching of the Bible. And the Bible's very clear that the Lord Jesus, who is holy and pure, he lived this perfect life. He never sinned in word and thought and deed. And yet the Bible tells us he was taken to the cross and he was nailed to the cross. And 1 Peter 2 verse 24 tells us, speaking of Christ, who his own self, listen, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And here's what happened. God the Father lifted this mass of transgressions. And he placed them right on his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, as he hung upon the cross. Isaiah said that, of course. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him, notice those words, the iniquity of us all. Isn't that amazing? God lifted that this load of transgressions. He lifted them and he put them on his Son. The teacher of the Bible. And then we find that he was slain because of this. The prophet says in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The prophet Isaiah tells us what happened to Christ when he took our sins upon his own body. He was wounded, he suffered, he bled, he died. And I asked you today, why all this suffering? Why all this wrath? Why is the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross? Why isn't he crying, my God, why has he forsaken me? Here's a simple answer. He was removing our transgressions. He was removing our transgressions. You see, this is God's method. He put our sins upon his Son, the Lord Jesus. He took our place and our punishment to take away our sin. And so when Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse 26, he says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And notice here, Paul is telling us about the Lord Jesus coming and bleeding and dying. And he says, he came here to put away sin. How did he? By the sacrifice of himself. He shed his blood. God's justice is satisfied. He is satisfied what the Lord Jesus is doing upon the cross. He is paying the penalty for our sin. And so we find here God removes transgressions by the blood of the Lamb. The only way our sins can be forgiven. The only way we can get our transgressions are removed is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way. This is how God takes away sin. Maybe you're listening today and you say, well, I've been trying a few prayers and I've been reading my Bible and I've tried to sort my life out in different ways to try to remove this burden of sin that's in your life and in your heart. But friends, you cannot. You cannot do it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses us from all sin. And praise the Lord, I say it to you today, only Christ can take away your sin. This is God's method for taking away transgressions, and there's no other method. There are many false religions in the world today. But here it is, the truth of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and to take away our sin, friends. So God's might here in the removal and his method in the removal. God's mercy in the removal. Here is something God didn't have to do. He looked upon this mountain of transgressions that man had committed against him. He could have left them. He could have left this load upon us. They weren't his. But oh, the mercy and the love of God to you and I. He loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into this world, listen, to remove this mountain of transgression. Here's the mercy of the Lord. You see there in verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Here we find the mercy of God to us to take away our sin. I say to you, unsaved today, the Lord in mercy can take away your sin. You don't deserve it. I do not deserve it. There's not a person listening to this message deserves to get their sins taken away. None of us. We deserve wrath. We deserve hell. Every one of us. And that's where you're going on, saved today, outside of Jesus Christ and in your sin, lost without a Savior. You deserve wrath. Everybody does. But in mercy, God can take away your transgressions. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we praise the Lord. He can take away sin. And you need his mercy. And there's mercy. There's mercy with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's mercy with God for you unsaved. Listen to the message today. So we find here, here's a divine removal. Only God can do it. I want you to see this simple truth that only Christ can save you. Only the blood of Christ can take away your sin and wash you and take away all your transgressions. But that's good news. You're hearing the message of the gospel today of someone who can take away your transgressions, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a divine removal. Then I want to notice another thing here. The distance in the removal. Well, he tells us how far. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It tells us here this removal is far. Now, if we try to measure the distance between the east and the west, it cannot be done. They tell us when you always, of course, walk in an easterly direction, you're always going east. You're always going all the time. You never get to the place where you've come. Well, I've come to the end. You're always going east. It's an unmeasurable distance. And God has shown us here. He's taken away. I couldn't. If I had said here, the Lord has removed our transgressions to the moon. Well, today we know, of course, and we can go and find out how far the moon is far from us. And we can say, well, God took our transgressions and he just cast a whole lot onto the moon. But that is not the case. He took them farther. As far as the east is from the west. An immeasurable distance here. It doesn't just take them down the road a little bit and tip them off. No, dear friends, as far as the east is from the west, he takes them away. This removal is far. This removal is final. When God takes them away, he takes them completely away. Because he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He takes them completely away. Now, dear friend, that's great news. Isaiah 43, verse 25, says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. And notice the words, and will not remember thy sins. This is a tremendous gospel truth here. God said, I take away your sin and I will not remember. Verse 17 says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Sins have been taken away. Sins you and I have forgotten about. Dear friends, God takes them all away. Notice, he takes them all away. All our transgressions. Doesn't leave half of them. I say to you today, he doesn't even leave one. He takes away all our sins. Before we were converted, listen, after we were converted for God's people, listen to the message today. He takes away all our sins. And that's the great news. And he takes them away as far as the east is from the west. No good looking for them. You'll never find them. That wonderful thing, that God's mercy and is so great, he takes away our sins so far away from us. You'll never find them. Oh, dear friend, this is the good news of the gospel. Turn to Jesus Christ with all of your heart, and he'll take away your sin. And he will save you. And he'll remove that load of sin. You'll never find it. You'll never find it. He takes it far away. He takes away all of your sin. He doesn't leave some of them, not even one of them. Oh, I thank you, the Lord, today. There's power in the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He takes away all your sins. Would you trust him today? Think about the deliverance here in the removal. He says, from us. The little word from us. There's freedom. He takes the sins away from us. They are taken from us. Maybe they're a burden upon your heart today, hanging heavy upon your heart and upon your mind. Well, listen, he takes them away from you. They're off you. Remember Bunyan looked to the cross and the burden of his sin, it fell off him. Because in John 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free from death. You'll be free from the weight of sin. Listen, from the wrath of sin. And you'll be forgiven. He takes them off us. I'm glad today I'm free. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. And the Lord can take away your sin from you. Would you come? Would you come and trust him? Listen, repent. Repent from your sin. And put your faith and trust in him. Even this very day, he's calling you to come to him. He'll remove your transgressions. He'll save your soul. He'll give you everlasting life and take you to heaven. May God write his word upon our hearts today.